Guess how much I love you. Right up to the moon and back. I don't think I can tell you that enough. For a couple of reasons. One is that sometimes, as we say in the interim minister business, I'm pre-fired, right? No, it's not a bad thing. But I'm here for a short while, right? I'm here only until next June, and you know, you've been through a lot of changes in a short while, and so that can seem like, well, won't any, you know, sometimes that can seem like nobody stays. Even when it's by design, it can seem that way. So I feel like I can't tell you enough how much I love you. Because I think you're wonderful. So I want to start off by saying that. I love you so much. And I thought that talking about love would be a good way to kick off a month where we're talking about abundance. Church is a good place for love, don't you think? And church, we talk about church because this is a church, but any religious organization, I mean, we heard a reading from the Quran this morning, and that was kind of radical, right? I mean, you can even end up loving your enemies. Whoa. And that's an awful lot of love. It's not limited to Christianity or Judaism or Islam. In Buddhism, I know we have some folks here who are interested in becoming deeper practitioners of Buddhism and learning a lot more about that. You know, in Buddhism, when you do metta prayers, you start out, you pray for yourself, may I, and then may you, and then may the world, and there are certain metta practices in Buddhism, and I am by no means an expert on Buddhism, right? I'm going to say that right here and now, that this is not, but there are things we pick up. But in Buddhism, one important practice is to start praying for those whom we're really in contention with, right? To view the whole world, to have love for the whole world. And that can be difficult, but when we have so much love. And let's talk for a minute. Do you remember when we talked about love, way back in December? That was ages ago, December. We had a different president then. Do you remember December? But we talked about love. And the love I'm talking about, you know, I'm not, do you remember that there were four kinds of love? That Eros, which is erotic love or romantic love, and Philos or brotherly or sibling love or the love of humanity, and storge, which is the love of the familiar, and agape, which is like the perfect love of God. Right? Okay, we're not talking about Eros here. Right? Church is not the place. This is not 1967, and church is not the place for free love. Right. That's not what we're talking about. When I talk about church as the place for love, we're not talking about that. But church is the place we're talking about. Philos and agape is what we're striving for, right? That perfect love, that love that requires nothing of you, that love that's selfless love that requires nothing in return. And that's what we're aiming for. And do we have it here? Sometimes. I mean, do we always have it every moment? Oh, no. Well, I mean, we talked about church conflict, right? I mean, there's conflict. Can we have conflict in love? Yes, we can. That's right. We can have conflict in love. And one of the most important things to remember, I think, is that love comes with boundaries. Even perfect love, even that perfect agape love. Now, my wheelhouse, as I just told you, is not Buddhism. My wheelhouse is definitely biblical. That's my. So I'm going to use some biblical examples. So when we talk about God's love for humanity, does God have, in the Bible, does God put boundaries on people? Yes, if you know any biblical stories, God puts boundaries. And is that because God hates humans? No, it's because if you've ever had children or been a child, anybody here ever been a child? Okay. You know that without boundaries, we're kind of floundering. We think we don't want boundaries. We think we want freedom. Anybody here ever been a teenager? We think that we want complete and total freedom, but what we're doing is we're testing those limits, right? We're testing where the boundaries are. Now, I was a foster parent for a long time, about maybe 10 years. My husband and I were foster parents. And I'll tell you, we would get a lot of children, because for a long time we were emergency foster parents, so we got a lot of children in, right? You know, sometimes, once we had a child for 2 hours. But it can happen. So we would see children sometimes who had ridiculous boundaries set. You know, you can only wear big baggy clothes because, you know, otherwise it's going to be, boys are going to think you're loose and, oh, please, you know. But a lot of times we'd get kids who'd never had any boundaries set. And they weren't happy. They were looking for the boundaries. They didn't know all that freedom, that wasn't great. They were looking for the boundaries. So, you know, we can set boundaries in love. And the same is true in church. So when they came into my house and they found boundaries and when you haven't had boundaries and you find them for the first time, come downstairs and come to dinner, get off of that computer. Come downstairs, come to dinner, get off of that computer. If I have to come up there, you're going to be down grounded from the computer for 3 days. Okay, now you're grounded from the computer for 3 days. Next day, can I get on the computer? No, you're grounded from the computer for 3 days. You meant that? Right? So, but now you know where that boundary is, right? Now you know that. But was this because I hated the child? No, this was because, you know, what was going to happen in the world when this child grew up? And no, don't drive 95 miles an hour down the main road. You meant that? Yeah, you know. So we can set boundaries in church too, can we not? I mean, is this, I've heard people describe Unitarian Universalism sometimes and it makes me weep. As the church of do as you please. We are not the church of do as you please. We are a non-creedal church. We do not have a creed. We do not tell you what to believe, but we do have a covenant. A covenant is a holy agreement, a holy contract. Now, this particular congregation does not yet have a congregational covenant, but we have the UUA covenant, right? We covenant together. We covenant to affirm and promote. And most people can name the first principle and the seventh principle. And there are five in between, and I encourage you to get to know those too. And there are six sources of faith, and that's part of the covenant. But there's a UUA covenant. And we can hold each other accountable in love. Now, can we hold each other accountable if we don't have love for one another? I mean, we kind of can't, but then it's just a set of rules you must obey. And that's not really the same thing as holding each other mutually accountable. But when we have so much love for one another, Now, I know some of you grew up in other faith traditions. Some of you did not. Some of you grew up in no faith traditions. Some of you grew up UU. But some of you may have grown up in a faith tradition where it felt like everything was just a rule. You may not do this, and you may not do that, and you may not. And that may not have felt like a lot of love to you, perhaps. And if that's the case, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that's what that felt like to you. But we do. We want to hold one another mutually accountable in our covenant, in love for one another. Now, why do we want to do that? Is it so that we can go behind one another's backs and so that we can nitpick and say, you know, last week, Miss Judy came to church in that hat that was just not, I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was so ratty, but I set her straight. In love, of course. I mean, I said to her, I'm telling you this in love. But are we doing it, is that right? Are we doing it so that we can build ourselves up and make ourselves feel so important and we're the ones who know all the rules and I'm just setting everybody else straight? If that's what we're doing, we might need to re-examine our own motives a little bit. But if we're doing it to help ourselves grow and to help everybody else grow, if this is a safe community for seeking and service, and I see Miss Jane come in one day doing something, I don't know, completely inappropriate for church. You pick whatever that is. And I might not as the minister, but as a member, take Miss Jane aside and say, hey, I noticed this thing. I'm just wondering how things are going with you. That was out of character. That's not usually what we do in church. Now, if it's severe enough, you might go to the minister, and might we ever have to pull somebody back? Might we ever have to say, I'm sorry, you can't do this here and now in the church? And we have a sign on our door, no guns, right? No weapons. If somebody came in here with an automatic rifle, would we just say, oh, well, you know, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, I guess that's fine? Or would we say, I'm sorry, you're welcome to come back when you've locked that up at home? But holding each other mutually accountable means concern for one another. Means that we will listen to one another. Means that I'm willing to be held accountable too. That all of us should be willing to be held accountable. Now, it doesn't mean that we're all turning into sleuths with our, right, and that we're looking for things to call people out on. But it does mean we're aware that there are boundaries. Now, is that the only thing that abundant love means in church? That we hold each other accountable? I mean, that's part of it. We hold each other accountable and we grow. But what other things does it mean when we have so much love for each other in church? Does it mean that we can be willing to be changed by one another? In a church where we have so much love for one another, we don't hear so much, but we've always done it that way. Because I love you and I love what you're bringing, we can try this new thing. Let's see where that goes. As new people are coming in, maybe we want to try different music, a different way of running a meeting, a different style of worship now and then. Different ways of, who knows? But we have the love here. having love means making space. Now, I was noticing last week, and I mentioned to a few people, but you know, I know we have some love for these historic pews here. Right? Some people do, and some people really love these pews, and they're beautiful. They are beautiful, yeah? But do you know, with these pews that are nailed down the way they are, we have no room. We have literally no room for anyone who needs an assistive mobility device in this church. We have no place to put a wheelchair or a walker, or right? So having abundant love means sometimes that we're willing to think in new ways about the statements that we're making, and the sometimes unintentionally. Even the chancel here is all stairs. So what is the statement that we make there? But when we truly love each other and do the work together, we listen. We listen not ready to accuse each other, but with a new sense of wonder and opportunity. A new sense of what could we accomplish if we have so much love, whom else can we welcome in, and how can we do that? And we continue to be filled with wonder. I wonder. In what many ways you will be growing over the next several years. And I don't just mean in numbers. I wonder in what ways you will be growing. I've been listening to your visions, and I think that you have wonderful visions for this community. I've been listening to how much you care about each other and how much you care about the wider world around, and I'm excited to see the differences that you make in each other's lives and in the lives of the surrounding community. And I know that your love will only grow. I know that your love will only grow. I know that because I can't help but love you. Because I see what a strong community this is. I sense that you have that love for one another. I pray that you will continue to nurture it. I love you to the moon and back. Nurture your love until, as the Quran tells us, it may well be that Allah will put love between you and those whom you are now at odds because of the order which is given to you. For Allah is all-powerful and Allah is oft-forgiving, most merciful. Nurture the love. When you give it away, you end up having more. Namaste.